From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armand Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Luke chapter 23 and verse 31. If they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Among other interpretations of this suggested question, the following is full of teaching. If I, the innocent substitute for sinners, suffer thus, what will be done when the sinner himself, the dry tree, shall fall into the hands of an angry God? When God saw Jesus in the sinner's place, He did not spare him. And when He finds the unregenerate without Christ, He will not spare them. O sinner, Jesus was led away by His enemies. So shall you be dragged away by fiends to the place appointed for you. Jesus was deserted of God. And if He who was only imputedly a sinner was deserted, how much more shall you be? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, what an awful shriek! But what shall be your cry when you shall say, O God, O God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the answer shall come back, Because ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. If God spared not His own Son, how much less will He spare you? What whips of burning wire will be yours, when conscience shall smite you with all its terrors? Ye richest, ye merriest, ye most self-righteous, who would stand in your place when God shall say, Awake, O sword, against the man that rejected me, smite him, and let him feel the smart forever. Jesus was spit upon. Sinner, what shame will be yours? We cannot sum up in one word all the mass of sorrows which met upon the head of Jesus who died for us. Therefore, it is impossible for us to tell you what streams, what oceans of grief must roll over your spirit if you die as you now are. You may die so. You may die now. By the agonies of Christ, by His wounds, and by His blood, do not bring upon yourselves the wrath to come. Trust in the Son of God. And you shall never die.
Wondrous joy, wondrous peace, wondrous love. Stars and angels sing around the center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea. Chanting bird and flowing fountain call us to rejoice in joy, wondrous peace, wondrous love, wondrous peace.
This day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions, the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. As Pastor Tomassian continues this series from 1 Thessalonians, he turns our attention to verse 13 of chapter 2, as he commences a message entitled, Experiencing the Transformative Power of the Word of God. Now here is the Reverend Armin Tomassian.
We turn the Word of God this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, as we resume our study going through this letter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to read just verse 13 this morning. We have gotten as far as this point, looking at the opening 12 verses of the second chapter, taking some time to see all that we can learn from those verses. But we come to the 13th verse, and this will be our only verse today as we consider the Word of God together. Let us read it with intent. May the Spirit of God be very much upon our hearts, even as it is read. And may, even as we read the Word, there be that deep sense of appreciation that this is the Word of God. And where would we be without the Word of God? For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. We're going to be considering this morning, experiencing the transformative power of the word of God. Experiencing the transformative power of the word of God. We come to verse 13 of this portion of the Lord's word, and we are coming, therefore, to a transition, really, in the thought and subject of the apostle's material. We have seen already in the opening 12 verses him focusing upon a defense of his preaching and pastoral ministry among the folks there at Thessalonica. And we come now to the fruit of his labor, essentially, where he mentions in verse 13 the conversion of the Thessalonians that were there, that he ministered to along with Titus and Timothy during the occasion that they were there. We know that he is referring to their conversion when he talks about them receiving the word of God, because in verse 14 he goes on to say, for ye brethren became followers of the churches. We know from this two things, that he is talking about their conversion, and he is also referring back to the original founding members, if you like, of this church. He is thinking back to them and drawing again to the forefront of their minds what happened on that occasion as he thinks of the fruit of his labor there during that time. What verse 13 does for us is highlight the vital place the Word of God had in establishing the church in this city. And I want to underline that the Word of God was critical in establishing the church. Even in what we were singing this morning, it made reference to the fact that the Lord has given us. He has given us this thing in which there are these precious jewels, even the Word of God. And that order is important. It's important because the Church of Rome would seek to establish that what comes first is the church, and the church gives them the Word. And that has the wrong way around. That is not the order. And what Paul is dealing with here in verse 13, as we shall see, we can draw from it, even at this point, an understanding that it is the Word that comes first. They went into that city, they brought the Word of God, and that Word gave life to the church. This is what happens. This is always the order. It is the Word that gives life. Even in the very creation itself, which has its gospel application, God spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. It was by his word that light came into existence. And the Apostle Paul draws the illustration in terms of the gospel, that the light of the glorious gospel shines into your hearts, but it was by the sovereign spoken command of the Lord. The Lord gives his word, and what follows then is the church. That's the product of the word. It is that order. And we should never allow the Church of Rome to say, no, the church is first. Mother Church, and the church gives you the word. Therefore, what she's trying to do there is elevate our allegiance to authority to the church. and not primarily to the Word of God, something Martin Luther was very aware of and stood in conviction against. Our conscience must be bound by the Word. It must be coming to this. And when an organization clearly opposes the Word, even if they say that we originated that, we must stand against it. God creates by His Word. We ourselves came to life into being by His Word. And this is what happened in this city. And verse 13 is going to emphasize that. And of course, the Apostle Paul deals with this elsewhere. You think of Romans chapter 10, verse 17, where he says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. That faith comes about by the Word. There must first be the preaching, the application, the delivery of the Word. The same we can see even in the book of Acts, whenever Cornelius, who's a good man in many respects, and is seeking to know the truth, God in His mercy, in response to his desire to know that truth, tells him to send for Peter. And Peter comes because Peter would tell him words whereby thou mayest be saved. Cornelius needed to have the word spoken to him. And that was the first aspect of his experience of sovereign grace. The Lord would send him a preacher. The preacher would open the scriptures, declare the truth to him. And from the declaration of truth, rightly received by the power of the Holy Ghost, that person comes to life. So let us not fall into the trap that Rome would have us fall into, of prioritizing and setting on the pinnacle first the church and then the Word, because this verse itself even militates against that. Paul came there, didn't draw attention to himself, but to the Word, and by the preaching of that Word, there was the establishment of a New Testament church, life from the dead, by the preaching of the Gospel. This is a wonderful text. Before I say anything about it, I wanted you to see how it reflects even the very prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 17. That high priestly prayer that he offered that is full of theological instruction. And in verse 8, and this is with particular application in the context to the disciples, but it can certainly have its application to those that the disciples and the apostles would instruct even to our day. Where in verse 8 the Lord Jesus prays, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me." I've given them the word. "And they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." We're going to see this coming to pass right here, in this occasion in this city. Of course, he goes on then to pray in verse 17 of John 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And that's his desire. And when I read verse 13, I saw the answer to prayer that Jesus Christ was offering even for those that he had shed his blood for in the city of Thessalonica. He was praying for the forward movement of the church, praying for the going forth of the word, directing the Apostle Paul and Timothy and Titus to the city, and then commanding blessing upon their efforts. And it was an answer to his prayer that these people would receive the word that had been given, and then that they might continue to experience the sanctifying power of that word as well. So as we consider then experiencing the transformative power of the Word of God, note with me, first of all, there will be a recognition of the Word of God. There will be a recognition of the Word of God. In the midst of the text, he says, "Ye received it," that's the Word of God, "not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the Word of God." You received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the Word of God. They recognized the difference between what men say and what God has said. And if you remember the cultural context, you had many individuals who would call themselves and practice the kind of career movement of being a philosopher, a thinker of the day, proclaiming their ideas and their understanding and developing upon the thoughts that had been handed down to them by their masters. There was much emphasis given to thought. But as the Word of God came to these individuals in this city, they recognized, they were able to distinguish the difference between the Word of men and the Word of God. That it wasn't coming from Paul, just another philosopher, but God Himself, the Creator of the ends of the earth, and the Maker of themselves even, with whom they have life itself, that He upholds them by the word of His power and so on, understanding this God had given His word. Now, if people are to experience the transformative power of the word, this is important, that they recognize the word of God for what it is. Paul is drawing this out, that this was a positive. You recognize the word of God for what it is. And if that's going to happen, and the transformative power of the word of God is going to be experienced, that is important. Now, in this, then, it necessitates preachers drawing attention to the word of God. That's the first thing. It necessitates preachers drawing attention to the word of God. Rather than drawing attention to their own words, the preachers come in and draw attention to God's word. And this, if you go back to Acts chapter 17, was what the Apostle Paul did. We have it very plainly given to us in Acts 17 verse 2, again relating to his activity in this particular city. It says he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. He opened the word of God. Now, here we are doing the very same thing. I trust we're following something of a similar format of what the Apostle Paul did in his time. He would come and stand before men and open up the word. Now, we have the benefit of what the apostles have given to us as well as the Old Testament Scriptures, but we are coming with an inspired word. We are declaring not our own ideas. We're saying, look, here is what is authoritative, opening it up, making men to understand it, and driving the application of the text with power to their hearts. And this is what he did. He reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. He called their minds to pay attention not to his own ideas, but to what was in the Word of God itself. And of course, this resulted in change in those that responded to it. But mere change itself can happen in anyone's life, regardless of exposure to the Word. There are many people who have gone to Alcoholics Anonymous, and they change as a result of following the steps and going through all of that. They change. That happens. That occurs. But the change that glorifies God, the purpose for which we exist, necessitates us coming back to what God has said. Not 12 steps put together by man, but the Word of God. And we draw attention to this, and it becomes the platform upon which we stand as we declare authoritatively what men need to receive. This is what the Apostle Paul did. This is what we need to continue to do if there is going to be the experience of the transformative power of the Word. Again, people may change. You may put before them certain ideas, and they will adopt them, and it will result in change. Ideas always have consequences. Always. But the change that matters is the transformative change that took place in the city when the Word of God was brought before them. No doubt other philosophers would come, and they would present ideas, and they would be received by some, and it would have a dramatic impact, even a very visible impact, in the lives of those that would receive those ideas. But again, those things do not matter. We are made to glorify God, and He causes a transformative effect to be occurring in our lives when He works His Word into us. When we're transformed, when we're born again, when we receive, as Peter, or James rather, puts it, the engrafted Word that is able to save our souls. So preachers must draw attention to the Word. We might just say generally, Christians must draw attention to the Word. You have to draw attention to the Word. You come alongside people if you want to help them. Don't be covert about it. Coming in with some certain angle and they get on board and then you kind of surprise them with the Word of God, hoping for change. You bring the Word of God to them. There was nothing covert about Paul going into this city. He walks into the synagogue, as was his manner, opened up the Scriptures, and he preaches to them. Preaches the gospel clearly to their hearts.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, We invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.